Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond talking about the faith to living it out. Now, one of the challenges we face as Christians is the world of Muslims. I'm not here with any of you to condemn any person, but we do want understanding so that we can better love people and help them and know how to live in a world that sometimes is very complicated. We have an incredible guest with us this morning, Isik Abla. She grew up under Sharia law in the Muslim world, and she's come to our world now as a believer in Isa, the name used in the Quran for Jesus. She's got a lot of interesting things to share, and her story is really the heart of it all. Welcome, Isik.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Your book is an excellent read. I'd just like to tell the listeners right up front, get the book, I Dreamed Freedom. You'll find that her writing is really from the heart, and there's nothing hidden. Isik, I noticed early on you mentioned that you went to one editor who said, we can't put all this in there. You had a rough life. We've got to hide. The public won't accept it. And you said, no, we're going to keep it. And you had to find another editor. Is that right?
Yes. I didn't want to water down my testimony. And there are some events in my life are horrific. But people need to know where I was so they can appreciate where I am right now. And it's only through Jesus Christ. So I had to tell them the entire story.
Okay, then, Isik, let's go ahead and begin your story. I think that's the best way to move people into deeper understanding. And so, as a little girl, for you, life was not easy, was it?
No, it was not. I grew up in a Muslim home. I had secular Muslims in my family, but I had a lot of radical Muslims in my family. Just to give you an example, my father's family received a gold medal from Turkish government by burning 15 Armenians. So the things that we see on the news today about ISIS and all these horrific things were real to my family, the prejudice towards Christians, just dreaming to kill them or all of them, ethnic cleansing. So these were part of my family legacy. And I grew up in a very dysfunctional, abusive, hostile environment. My parents were abusive towards me, towards each other. My father was an unfaithful man. It is in the root of Islam, he always believed that he could have many women. But my mother was just falling apart, being with him in that kind of marriage. And she was the one mostly physically abusive towards me. My father was just, I was nothing to my father because I was a girl. And he always said that I would sum up to nothing. I was not good for anything. Later years, they had a son, my brother, which I love him very much. 14 years later, it was a huge celebration. And I grew up feeling inferior to men just because of my gender and the abuse that I've been through. But I gravitated towards Islam because I thought that if I found about God, the Creator, my Maker, He could answer my questions. He could end my misery. And this is why I thought that if I know God, but I learned about the God was represented in a Muslim country, of course.
And you were very serious. As a young girl, you were memorizing the Quran. Is that right?
Yes. I started memorizing the Quran age 5. My great-grandmother was an authority in Islam in the family. She knew the entire Quran so well in Arabic. So she saw that I was hungry and thirsty for the truth, and she started giving me her truth and feeding me with the Quran and taking me to the mosque. I was covering my head when I was 5, 6, 7 years old, while nobody in my family was covering their heads because in Turkey it's optional. So after 12, my parents, I wanted to completely cover all entire my body, like you see, covered in black, but my parents didn't allow me.
And I know Life was very difficult for you, and then you had a vision of Jesus as a young girl?
Yes, when I was around 4 or 5 years old, because I had fear of death, and my mother was so intensely abusive to a point of she wouldn't remember how bad she kicked me on the floors, how bad she beat me up, or one incident she cut my hair from its roots completely. I was very young, and so I had fear of death, and one night Jesus appeared to me and told me that I was going to have eternal life. I was not going to die.
And your parents said, how can this be? You'd never heard about Jesus, is that right?
Yes, because I was going around as a little girl and I was telling people that I am never going to die. And they asked me where this is coming from, and I was telling people Jesus. But Islam believes in Jesus as a prophet. However, I was telling them that Jesus promised me that to have eternal life. So my dream automatically was putting him in a place of God. And that was alarming to my parents and people around me.
Mm. So as you grew up, you found the same abuse when you got married. Is it true?
Yes. Yes. I met my match at that time because he was coming from a very Islamic-rooted family. He was, his parents were, like, his father would beat his wife up in front of us. So it was so normal for the family, the violence and everything was in the Quran. And he believed in jihad. He believed in different type of jihad. We both believed in violent jihad. And we wanted to kill and die in the name of Allah. But he also believed in educational jihad. Which is one part of jihad, sending students to Western countries, prestige colleges like Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Oxford, Cambridge, paying their tuition, so Islamizing those countries with highly educated Muslims. And, I mean, we were just each other's soulmate at that time. And then we got married. I was a teenager, and I wanted to also run away from home. But this time, different type of abuse started. He started beating me up almost every other day, beating me up on the street in public. And I believe that he had every right to do so according to Quran, because Quran says that you can discipline your wives. So he was disciplining me until the point that he put a knife on my throat, told me to jump from a high building. And that night, I decided to run away.
Isaac, how did you saw Jesus in a vision. How did you come to know him as your Lord?
Well, there were other tragedies following my life. And then when he put a knife on my throat, I decided to run to America. I was highly educated. I had a very high position in a huge company, very well-known organization in Turkey. So I was able to obtain a visa, tourist visa to America. And I bought a 6 month one-way ticket, and it was in my pocket every time he was beating me up. And I fled to America to find freedom, but I came with him as a Muslim, with Muslim woman mentality. And I ended up with another abusive relationship, and I found myself at age 28, feeling like 80 years old, ready to commit suicide, failed in every area of my life. And I felt like I failed my God at that time, Allah too. So, and enemy was whispering to my ears, telling me life is not worth living and you fail. At that time, I was working in Miami at a Christian company. And that day, very dark day, when I was planning to kill myself, my boss, my Christian boss, called me to his office. And he told me that Jesus Christ revealed him what I was about to do. And he told me a lot of things from my past that I never shared with him. He told me, Jesus revealed these things to me. And he wants me to tell you, you are not forsaken nor abandoned. He has been there when you were abused. He was there when you were molested. He was always there by your side, and he was interceding for you that one day you would turn to him. And he wants me to ask you, will you surrender your life to Jesus? And I said, yes. And I fell on my face to the floor, just start weeping bitterly, crying, and surrendering my life to Jesus.
Wow. How did your life change because you found this Jesus?
I mean, at that moment that, Bill, I gave my life to him, the moment that woman that who was suicidal, full of hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, everything, like all this tons of weight was lifted up off my shoulders. I felt like grass looked greener, sky looked blue, and I was filled with joy that I wanted to run on the streets and kiss everybody and hug everybody. I was a complete, it was a transformation, complete transformation. And I started going to church. I was a single mother at that time. I had a three-year-old girl, and she's 18 right now, and she's a missionary. And she's going to China next month. So, I mean, it's all only by the grace of God, God's miracle, what he had done in our lives. So I started going to church. Of course, God had to clean up so much garbage from me. Some things happened at the moment of salvation. He took care of a lot of things, but some things that were so blended in my DNA almost, being all these years a Muslim and taught Islam so intensely, God had to clean up so many things. So some things happened little by little. I started forgiving my family, and it became a process, and I made peace with them. I called them. I told them how much I love them, and I'm forgiving you, I told them. And my father didn't accept it, but my mother, it just restored our relationship. And years later, my father, that was the most racist man I have ever known, gave his life to Jesus in an Armenian church. I mean, I was speaking at that Armenian church. He came like grumbling, hateful. He said, I'm just coming to protect you from these Armenians. And very vulgar, very aggressive man, outspoken, treating, belittling them like they are nothing. And when I made an altar call, he was sobbing. And he threw himself to surrender. And now this is the only church he goes, Armenian church in Istanbul. I mean, only God can do things like this. You know, there's no human power or logic or no psychiatrist. Nobody can convince you to things like that. Only God, only Jesus. And I started giving my testimony everywhere after my salvation. I went to speak to two people. Two Muslim women, I remember, I used to drive 5-6 hours to just to witness to one person, one Muslim. And then I would just go in front of hundreds of people or thousands of people. And it started that way. Someone heard about my testimony, was connected to TV ministry, and they recommended me to be a TV evangelist to the Muslim world.
And so you have a TV program that's had a huge impact in Turkey, is that right?
In Turkey and in, I would say, most of Middle East and right now in Africa, in 5 languages. It is in Arabic, Turkish, Farsi, Urdu, and in English.
It's incredible. You would never have known when you were younger that God was going to do this, huh?
No, you know, I always wanted to change the world. I wanted to change my mom's world. She was an abused woman. I wanted to change my father, and everything around me was telling me, you are only a girl. You are a girl. You are born already disadvantaged. You cannot do anything. But through Jesus Christ, I learned that I can do all things, and including changing the world through him and with him.
As we think about America, mm-hmm. and you mentioned when you were married to your husband, you both had these strategies of jihad. It could be violent. It could be educational.
Sure.
What can you tell us to help us have understanding about how the Muslim world looks at us in America today?
From my point of view, America is a very good country, surrounded with millions of people that they want to do good, and they feed the poor all around the world. They have really good hearts, but some people are very ignorant in this culture also, and or very naive, I would say. Because the good Muslims that they call good Muslims, peaceful Muslims, according to Quran, they are hypocrites. Because if they are true Muslims, they need to die and kill in the name of Allah in jihad, holy war, holy Muslim war. So those Muslims, there are Muslims, and they are secular Muslims in America. And Americans call them good Muslims. But according to Quran, they are not Muslims. So yes, there are. I should say they are. There are a lot of good Muslim-born people that they don't believe in violence. But if you believe in Quran, you need to believe in all of it, because it says that Allah commands to His believers that if you believe in me, even though you don't want to fight, it is ordered to you. And it is not self-defense. It is not to protect yourself. It is to spread Islam through jihad. So people need to know this. And I am doing TV programs right now for America. And NRB TV started airing my programs in America, and there are other networks, TV networks. And I am telling Americans, wake up. This is a beautiful country, but Islamization is so rooted in it. There is an agenda. There is an ideology wants to rob you from your freedom. And please, and what can we do? Be a better Christian. Be a better person. Be a better citizen. Love more. Show grace more. Practice your faith more. It's not only preaching in slogans, hitting people with the Bible on the head, but no, it is our actions as Christians. So I am just trying to, so to say, stir the fire in people for Jesus Christ. And for the people that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in this precious country, to tell them, seek the truth. Be hungry and thirsty for the truth, because only truth can set you free.
Beautiful. Do you think, as Americans, we should be aware that, I mean, we see ISIS and heads being knocked off overseas, and we say, well, that will never happen here. But you talked about educational jihad, and I know there's a whole view of cultural jihad.
Sure.
Would you say that we're more in danger of losing our freedoms than we think we are?
Oh, absolutely. And I am really concerned for America, because there are more ISIS members living in America that I have been receiving messages and so many things that I cannot disclose the sources than government acknowledges. And, I mean, they are really waiting to do something big. So they could do anything small right now, but they are not. They want to make a noise, because Islam is a bully religion. It is operated by fear. So they don't want to do anything small. They want to do something very big to collapse the economy, really bring down everything in America. And America is called, I mean, we used to call America when I was in the Muslim world, Satan's seed, Satan's child. So in their eyes, Americans are Satan's descendants, and they want to wipe the earth from Americans. So people in America need to understand the mentality and the mindset behind it. They would kill millions of people, and it is for them serving God, serving to their God.
So the two things I'm hearing you say, we need to, one, wake up and realize there's great danger around us. But number two, the best thing we can do is not take up a gun, but have our hearts full of love. As your life was changed, mm-hmm. our lives should be changed, and we should help change others, not in our strength, but in the gospel. The love of God that touched you, Isaac, is what we need more than anything else. Is that how you would say it?
Absolutely. Bill, I can tell you, through my ministry, a terrorist received Christ Jesus, and his life was completely transformed. I am not saying God is God. He's a sovereign God. I am not God's mind's reader. So he may save ISIS members, and he may not, but I believe he's going to use ISIS or any bad thing that any evil that they will be doing to shake America. I believe that. Mm. I believe that America is going to have revival after terrible times. Mm. But I am not talking about circus revival. I'm not talking about show business revival. I am talking about a revival that God pierces our hearts. He rends our hearts. And we are ultimately and completely surrendered to him.
It's like our time has run out. I thank you so much for being
you
with
are so
us
welcome.
On the air.
Thank you.
And we will hope to talk to you again soon. And again, listeners, read her book if you at all can get a hold of it, I Dreamed Freedom. Isik, where do they find your book?
Amazon.com. It okay. is very easy to find my book.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much
for having me. God bless you and God bless everyone listening. Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a joy to talk to someone who has so much conviction and so much love. Now, I'd like you to know that Isik Abla will be with us at an event we're scheduling for this year, 2015, July 17 to 19, in Asheville, North Carolina. You can go onto our website, scriptureawakening.org, and go to the Beyond link, and there click on Awake. And this Awake Western North Carolina is for the 28 counties in the mountainous region in the western part of this state. Isik will be there with Anne Graham Lotz, a number of other speakers. It's going to be a whole weekend focused on spiritual awakening. It's not about isolating out and targeting some religious group or putting down one above another, but reaching up to the heavens and seeking to bring down the glory of God. It's a focus on spiritual awakening. You can also go directly to learn about this if you go to awakeusa.org. awakeusa.org. And while this is specifically to help build grassroots revival throughout Western North Carolina, you're welcome to come from anywhere. You may be hearing this broadcast. Certainly, we all need to band together. And I appreciate the fact that Isik really helped us to see, from her perspective, how important awakening really is. We cannot overcome terrorism simply by, let's say, taking up arms or supporting a governmental action. In the end, any great thing that happens to change societies and people will happen in their hearts. And this is why we need to pray for a spiritual awakening, because a great move of God can do more than anything we can do in our own strength or by our own arms. This is the story of the Christian church through history, that we've not taken up arms as Christians. Now, one could say, what about the Crusades? The Crusades were an anomaly. People apologize for the Crusades through history. In 94, even the Pope did. And this is not, again, to knock the Islamic faith, but to challenge an ideology. For the extremists who call themselves Muslim and are creating terror around the world, this notion, all the way back to Muhammad, you could argue, because, you know, he really did overcome people with the sword and took a lot of land and started a movement in that direction. This whole mentality, for 400 years, there was a takeover of ancient Christian lands by Muslims, and they finally stepped up to defend themselves, hence the Crusades. It's not to justify them, but to say that there's another side to the story that we tend not to hear very much these days. What I want to say to you, not knocking another religion, but lifting up the way of Christ, the way of love. He said, love your enemies. There's some people today that don't recognize what love is really all about, and they would try to amalgamate religions, thinking one is as good as the next. Now, that might depend on how you measure it. If we measure it according to the love of God, we find in Christianity something very unique. Christians look toward God as a loving father. Jesus called him Abba in the street language of the day. That was saying, Daddy, he's my daddy. And that was revolutionary for the Jews who helped craft the Old Testament, but it was suggested there. However, the love was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who died for us out of love. He didn't conquer, as his own followers wanted, the Roman kingdom with the sword, but rather with love. And that's what we're called to do. And that's what Isik is trying to bring out in her message. And that's why I so much appreciate it. Not everybody appreciates this. And we could look with a critical eye at the Muslim faith and recognize troubled spots around the world where this faith has tended to dominate. And the question comes, what do you do about it? The answer for the Christian should be pray, reach out in love, and allow God by His Holy Spirit and the Word of Truth to change lives. Now, I know that there's a movement among pastors, and it comes partway through parts of the media to challenge our government to take up arms and squash the ISIS movement. And there's a legitimate argument for that. But that's nation to nation. I'm talking on a deeper level about Christians and how they should respond on the ground in relationships. We can make a huge difference. The greatest difference, I think, in all the world will come when we embrace this gospel message and live it out. Now, when you go to speak to a Muslim about the faith, you'll find there are some misconceptions that really go all the way back to the birthing of Islam in the 630, so, you know, after Christ. Muhammad didn't quite understand the Christian story, and he condemned Christians first for calling them, as many Muslims believe we are today, polytheists. They say we believe in the Father, Son, and Virgin Mary. And we don't believe Mary was a god. And certainly, even if we get it right, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we don't believe there are three gods, but three in one. There's one God. And while it's not easy to understand, we are not polytheists. Second, Muslims have a stumbling block all the way back to Muhammad in the idea of what we claim about Christ. Muhammad wrongly thought that we claim Christ is fully God because, pardon the bluntness here, God had sex with Mary. And no, we believe in the virgin birth. And so again, Muslims have a misunderstanding. But the best way to reach out is not to argue, is to win a friend and then to gain a voice into someone's heart. And when you can talk to someone who's a friend and clarify what Christians really believe, you find we don't have that much of an argument. But we do have an answer to the hatred that fills so many hearts in the world. The answer is the God of love. So that's what this program is about. I'm grateful for Isaac, and I encourage you to be sure to join us next week as we go more deeply into this topic. We'll have with us Ken Boa. He's a man who loves the sciences. We've had him on before talking about apologetics and the like. But he's going to talk about scriptures and specifically about how to develop our love for God and for each other. It should be fascinating and very helpful. We'll see you then.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of scripture awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.